You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I just noticed how you low-key were just chuckling at me while I was trying to make the point. Like, you didn't say anything, but you were just chuckling underneath my passionate attempt to make football in New York relevant for at least a few more weeks.
We hoping, man. Like, with the Yankees out, man, we like, give us something, bro. I mean, do I have to get a Red Bulls jersey? Like, come on, man. I was the official captain on the red carpet.
Who sang that song? There was a hair band. It might have been Poison saying that song, Give Me Something to Believe In. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, Anthony, if you could find that song, I think it was Poison. I could be wrong, but it's Give Me Something to Believe In.
Something.
And it's like, that's what we're doing. That's really what we've got going on right now. By the way,
we buy
you
into
look
the
today,
Buffalo Bills. Be like, hey,
you changed out of your suit, right, from Get Up.
Yeah.
You're on, like, you're giving me a little, like R&B album cover vibe right now with the medallion and the white tee. But you got is that a jacket over it? Like, what do you
it's
got going on?
It's a jogger suit, man. I got my little cashmere jacket.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was a jogger because it looked like it had lapels there. It looked almost like you had like a suit jacket on over, like a little Don Johnson.
It got a little leather on it. You know what I'm saying? See,
by the way, when we're allowed to hang out again, we should probably do like a Miami Vice
album cover
kind of thing.
Sonny and Tubbs, baby.
Crockett and Tubbs.
Crockett.
Hey, we should pull Sonny. Something like that.
Hold on, I say Sonny and Tubbs.
Same. Well, it is Sonny. Yeah. But
a little Don Johnson action going on. Get the drop top.
I can get that crispy, like, crinkled suit jacket, roll up the sleeves.
Yeah, so, you know, we got to get that. We got to make sure that's a little
get the hair all right. You know, I got the flow with the hair. Yeah. No, let it grow. So I got the flow. I could do the Don Johnson
got
flow
lot,
now.
Got a lot of linen up in there. Let the 5 o'clock shadow grow out. You know
let
what I'm
it
saying?
Air out. A little linen. Yeah, baby.
I'm going to have to go to the beauty salon and ask them to give me the Just For Me Luther Vandross special. Because, you know, Tubbs had that little curly stuff, you know what I'm saying?
He did.
So I'm going to have to go get the Just For Me curls and my stuff. The sponge ain't going to work, man. I'm going to have to go get the Luther. Give me the baby Luther Just For Me curl kit.
Just there's so many, like, different, whether it's album covers or movie posters that we're going to be doing. I just think it's funny to do that stuff. No doubt. All right, we got again 800-919-3776. We will keep the calls rolling for sure as part of everything, but it's always it's Football Friday. We love to go around the league and talk about different games that are worth your time, not just the local teams. We're going to do that right now in Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
Basically, we'll see if Bart agrees with me or wants to make his own call on these games. And by the way, before we get to NFL, we've got a bonus college football game to talk about this weekend. We have mentioned it before, and it's a big game. 8 o'clock, Saturday night, CBS, number 3, the Georgia Bulldogs in Tuscaloosa against the number 2 ranked Alabama.
This is going to be a big game, man. I mean, big game, a lot of ramifications. I mean, really, this is like the McDonald's game, right? Because you're looking at, like, these are the stars of tomorrow, today. So they're going to be here tomorrow.
Two great offenses. Yeah, it's a great play. Yeah.
We need to be paying attention.
All these guys will be in the NFL somewhere this next year.
Exactly.
Or in 2 years, or whatever it is.
So if you're a Jets fan and a Giants
fan,
Pro
Bowl,
you need to be paying attention.
This is the 2024 Pro Bowl game.
Exactly.
All right, well, Alabama coach Nick Saban, as we talked about yesterday, tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday afternoon. He was on his weekly radio show on Thursday night and told listeners he's feeling great and would hate to miss Saturday's game against Georgia. Of course, it's a huge game. He said he'd like to be part of the game against Georgia, but NCAA rules, as we told you yesterday, prohibit in-game communication with anyone on the staff while he's in quarantine.
They score Normandy.
He cannot travel to the stadium while in quarantine either. But if Saban has 3 negative tests, including the second 2 in a 24-hour span, he could conceivably be cleared to return to the team before the game in Tuscaloosa. So he's really, like, steps away from his house. He's been overseeing practice via Zoom, which you can only imagine what that's been like. Now, this is obviously a huge game, Bart, for both SEC programs, not just in the conference, but for national championship hopes. Yeah. So blitz or prevent, Saban is going to find a way to be in the press box and coach the team for this game.
Absolutely. Remember when we were watching, what game were we watching when the dude was outside the stadium hitting the drums and then security came and got him?
It was Cleveland Yankees.
Like, bro, you got to go. Like, imagine he's going to pull up in one of those tree cutting machines.
Could he do the Astros thing where he's just going to hit things when he wants a certain play call?
He's going to come there. He's going to be on one of those tree things where you're cutting trees down and extend a pole. He's going to be up there with his goggles and say, technically, I'm not in there, but he's going to be hovering over. You know what I mean? Because you can put it over the stadium, but he's not technically in the stadium because the vehicle base is actually outside of the stadium.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
or see him in like the Goodyear bubble blimp, or I can see him in like one of those floats. Remember like when you ever went down to Disney World and then they got that alternative Disney World, but they got that big parachute hot balloon bubble and it just floats on the string.
What if he's like Bear Bryant up in the tower, just overseeing everything?
He's going to be in a hot air balloon calling plays. Like, he's going to keep going in a circle.
Something, somehow, some way, it really does feel like that he will be part of this game. If whatever it takes to get those two negatives that he needs.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's what he's going to do somehow, some way. It's a huge game though, college football wise though, Bart. This is a big game. I mean, 2 versus 3 this point of the season, midpoint of the season, and you want to stake your claim. If you lose this game, you could fall out of the top four, conceivably?
Yeah, and you may not be able to get an opportunity to play your conference championship or anything like that to be able to move back up. You know, this is going to be probably your biggest strength of opponent. So you want to make sure that strength of schedule that you won that game and not be the only one on that other end, because we know when you win those games early, you know, they don't knock you down too far, but then it's hard to get back up.
Yeah. And again, you have to go to you'd have to go back to the SEC championship game to get any kind of retribution. So keep an eye on that game, though. It'll be very entertaining. And as we always say, it's a preview of the upcoming Pro Bowl in the next couple of years. A lot of talent on both sides of that football. All right, to the NFL. So Browns at Steelers.
Love this game.
This is a huge game. 1 o'clock on Sunday. Browns are 4-1. Steelers 4-0. It's Pittsburgh, by the way, is favored 3.5. The over-under is 51 in this game. Now, the Browns are off to their best 5-game start since 1994. Head coach?
Nick Saban.
Bill Belichick.
No, Bill Belichick. Yeah,
Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator.
It's a hell of a coach. Ozzie Newsom was there as well.
So the Steelers are 4-0. This one really blows my mind. The Steelers are 4-0 for the first time since...
1968.
79.
Oh.
Close. 79.
Just Google it.
You thought for sure they'd be 4-0 in other seasons. They have not.
Yep.
So when the two teams meet Sunday, they're going to enter. They have a combined 889 winning percentage, which is the second highest ever of any game involving the Browns. That's according to Elias. It's just funny because the Browns are never good.
This is also
Myles Garrett returning to Pittsburgh, that whole incident that he had with Mason Rudolph.
Start Mason Rudolph, see if he hit him again.
Damn.
And they never
apologized. Or just a rattle.
They never got that settled because he came at a defamation of character. I mean, saying that he said that word.
I was going to ask you whatever happened to that, because you're right. He did accuse Rudolph of using the N-word.
Right. He say still stands behind it. They said,
and
they
then it just sort of
it.
Disappeared. So, okay, you have that. No, Freddie Kitchens also wearing the, you know, they started it t-shirts, all that stuff in the past. But still, this is now beyond the hatred rivalry, all that stuff. This is a big game in the AFC North. Both teams looking to legitimize their starts and make a statement in the division. So blitz or prevent. This game means more to the Browns, Bart. One could argue if they get a win, not just over an undefeated division rival, but in Pittsburgh, it would be the franchise's most significant win in almost 2 decades. Remember, it's been 18 years since they made the playoffs. Agree or disagree? Blitz or prevent?
Listen, this totally. I'm going to blitz this, and it totally means more to the Browns, because the Browns have been the doormat of the division. But even more than that, it's not a rivalry until you actually beat them, and the Browns never beat them. They haven't beaten them. Even the Tommy Maddox comeback game, they lost. Right? I mean, the Browns have to win, and they have to believe that they can win. Like, they hope that they can win, but I don't know if they believe that they can win.
Heinz Field, too.
And they have it's always a tough place there. You talk about Ben Roethlisberger at home, and his career is 9-2 lifetime in the month of October at home. So, like, it's going to be tough sledding. The Browns have gone there and they played well. They always come up shorthanded. They're going to have to make sure that they can seal the deal so that when they see them again, they can believe that they can beat this team.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, they're in a fight. Right, right now, they already have a loss to the Ravens. They can't have a loss to the Steelers because they have to play those teams twice. And, listen, the AFC North may get three teams into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you got to split with some of them. You got to split with some of them, or you got to win out with everybody that you play that's not named the Baltimore Ravens or the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I just feel, again, coming from where the Browns have been these last couple of years, this game means so much to that franchise because it sort of, I would think, it establishes them as a team where you say, I'm going to start taking them serious. Like, you got to legit
should.
Take them serious now if they get that dub. So that's a huge game, 1 o'clock on Sunday. But another game we're keeping an eye on, and that would be Packers at Bucks. 4-0 Packers, 3-2 Bucks. That's a 425 on Sunday. Weird that it wouldn't be a headline game because it's obviously Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Green Bay, it's basically a pick-up. Green Bay on the road, favored by 1 is the latest I've seen. Over-under is 55.
Yeah, we called it
for this
morning.
Game.
We called it this morning the boat versus the goat, the greatest of all time versus the best of all time. Because at the end of the day, you know, Tom Brady has won more than Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is not even close. You would think with his greatness, and he wants to be put on that Mount Rushmore, he doesn't have the resume because he only has one championship. Yeah. Eli Manning has two. Mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger has two. We assume that Russell Wilson is going to get two. So he's right now, to him to be able to separate himself and put himself in the conversation, he's going to live there with Drew Brees and all those other guys. So he doesn't even get mentioned or won't get mentioned. And we know that he's on borrowed time anyway because he got 2 years and he's getting the hell up out of here.
And his replacement is already on the roster. But at least we think so.
Right. So when you think about what Tom Brady and what this game represents, you know, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers got to get back to, you know, who they should be, not who they want to be. And they want to air it out. But, you know, Bruce Arians need to implore some more physicality. Save your older quarterback for later in the season. I understand that everybody goes and retires in Florida. I understand that it's warm weather, so the joint should be good on Tom Brady's arthritic body. I know he doesn't have a lot of lactic acid in there.
TB12,
because
man,
he's not eating none of the nightshade stuff. But turn around. You got Leonard Fournette, and you got Ronald Jones, and you got Shady McCoy. How about a little bit more of them and a little bit less of Mike Evans and Cameron Bray and trying to force the Gronk and make the game easy for the GOAT? Because when he's done that, we saw him win a championship featuring the run game.
Yes.
And he went against those Kansas City Chiefs, and that's how he was able to win those games, because they salted the game away and they physically punished him. They have the personnel to do that and then air it out. But you got to go through the run first, because Tom Brady looked a little bit weary back there when he was going against a team that had two pass rushers, and he didn't even know. We talked about it all day. He didn't even know what quarter it was. Fourth down, second down.
He was scared.
He knew he wanted to get the hell out of there. Exactly. So it's always better to say, here's the ball. Here go. Here's the ball to you, Ronald Jones. Here's the ball to you, Shady McCoy. Here's the ball to you, Leonard Fournette. Go get him.
All right, well, the other interesting thing about this game, besides the part you were just talking about there, is despite all the years they've been in the league together, this is only the third meeting between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Isn't that amazing?
Different conferences.
And they just never seem to play against each other. So far, they split the meetings, with the home team getting a win each time. I got a couple of useless stats for you, Bart.
Sure.
So Brady has 5 career wins against teams that are 4-0 or better.
Yep.
You believe that? 5 career wins against 4-0 teams. So he tends to do well even against the good teams.
For quarterbacks.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way, on the flip side, is 5-12 on the road against Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, and that includes the playoffs.
Yeah, but how many?
5-12.
I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying. So like, it's a team because they put so much pressure on Aaron Rodgers to do everything. Now he has a better defense, but remember what this defense was. This team was 13-3 last year, but they got bullied by who? The San Francisco 49ers kicked their ass twice. They kicked their ass in the regular season. We thought, okay, well, no, they'll change it, they'll figure it out, and they kicked their ass again. That's what I'm saying, that it's going to be incumbent that they run the football to exploit this leaky run defense of the Green Bay Packers. But if Tom wants to get back there, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, he's going to get at it.
See, it's like you read the script. So blitzer prevent is what I was going to say, is Rodgers and the Pack are coming off a bye week. That's something to keep an eye on here. And Green Bay's defense, led by exactly what you were saying, the Smith brothers, could make things very uncomfortable for Tom, who basically, as you know, if he's not handing the ball off, is pretty much a statue back there.
Yeah, you. I mean, you can't get a blitz on a run.
So is that what you're looking for in this game? Is that what you're watching for?
Yes.
That right there. Will the Bucs run the ball more, and will the Pack defense get to Brady, which you know he's very uncomfortable when people are falling at his feet?
So the Packers are giving up 4.6 yards a carry. That's down. So that's improvement from the 4.8 that they gave up last year. So, listen, 4.6, you damn near getting a first down just running the ball twice. So, keep Aaron Rodgers on the bench and make sure that you can salt the game away and get a two-score lead, then it's night-night.
It'll be interesting to see that game as well. All right, let's grab some calls. That was Blitzer Previa. Great job, Bart, as always. That was a really good back-and-forth and breakdown of some of these games. 800-919-3776. A lot of people on hold, so we're going to get as many calls in as we can. We do have audio files coming up. It's a bit of a brief one, so we can keep calls rolling. And then we got our picks coming up, Lunch Money, at the end of the show. Show is flying by, as always, and we appreciate everybody for staying with us. Dino is in Rockland on Le'Veon Bell. Dino.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What up?
Well, I don't know the topic's over and everything, but, like, back to that, like, what happened?
It's not over at all. You can talk about whatever you want. Go ahead. I know you want to talk about Lev Bell.
Oh, no. The thing is, like, how the Giants get Freeman for Dane Jones, and they try to do, like, Le'Veon Bell is there trying to help out Sam Darnold, and how do you think that's not going to work, like getting them a good running back? That can only help your game. Like Robbie Anderson was
Dino,
there.
Dino, it's Adam Gase. You know? It's 100%, and thanks for the call. It's 100% Adam Gase. And I think what Bart said is a fair argument to make, is that Joe Douglas recognizes what's going on here and said, I'm not going to let this guy just sit here and stew and be angry. He's been a good soldier. He's never complained a lot. He's tweets, a couple of likes. I mean, whatever. But for the most part, he's done everything you ask him to do. It's gone too far. Let's get him out of here. We want to make sure we're not going to hurt any relationships. Send him off. Go ahead, go. And Adam, it's on you because it's another guy that you couldn't make work. Let's take Joel in Jersey Shore. Joel.
How you doing, sir?
What's happening?
I'd like to say what's up to Bart. You're one of my favorite Jets, and hats off to you for what you're doing for your hometown. Hope those young guys come away with the chip. I would just like to say I think that that's a very bad decision to get rid of Lev Bell. I understand your point of view, but on the second note, I'm a Niner fan, and what do you think is the probability of us getting Sam Darnold, or at least getting rid of Jimmy G? Because I was all ready for this revenge tour, and he's just looking like he can't hold up.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes you overestimate, you give people that come from places that you respect too much credit. So because, you know, Bill Belichick liked Jimmy G, you know, I think that Kyle Shanahan thought that he could fix him and thought that he could grow. Because remember, he's still, even though he's a veteran quarterback, he's still young in his process. He doesn't really have a lot of games started. I think he's only been starting for like a year and a half. And you thought, okay, well, he'll figure it out. He'll be able to make some of these passes down the field. And that's just not the case. We've seen it happen. Who's the other bum that left there before and got paid and went to Kansas City? I forget his name all the time, but he stole so much. Matt Castle. Matt Castle stole for a while. You know what I mean? And then, you know, you look at what, you know, what the kid in Indianapolis was able to get. You know, like sometimes they give too much credit because Bill was able to work with him. Bill was working with him probably in spite. Right, we saw that with Nate.
Jacoby Brissett.
We see it with Nate Solder. Like they let these players go. We feel like, oh man, they should be taught well. Remember, Bill was getting the best out of them, and you're not Bill, so you're not gonna get the best out of them.
Yeah.
But you think you know, and Bill's laughing all the way to the bank. He's laughing because y'all giving up draft picks for people that they had to cover up. But you don't know that. You know what I mean? So you don't know what they went through.
Let's go to Mark in Newark. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, thank you. What's up, guys?
What up?
Oh, man, Backer. I want to run a couple of things real quick and then point on the Jets. A couple of things. First of all, Saban, he could really copy off of Bobby Valentine with the mask and the disguise when he was suspended, which was the funniest thing I ever saw.
Nice. That was class.
That was hilarious. They just didn't have to go, is that Bobby in there with the... Oh, my God. secondly, back, I'm 57 years old, so I know you see the significance in that. Watching you, man, and from the perspective that you had playing football and being the awesome, awesome linebacker that you were, I respect the way that you break things down, because it's coming. I feel like I'm in the huddle when you were talking about how Skittles was popping, you know, that kind of stuff. It takes us right there. I love that perspective, bro. Vastly on the Jets. Now, I don't know whether anybody agrees with me or not, and quite frankly, I don't care. Jersey guy Joe Flacco is 35 years old.
Yeah.
And I strongly and can't wait. Oh, yeah, I got to tell you that, too. Man, when you said can't wait, I thought I was going to lose my mind. That'll never go away. Joe Flacco, I think his career is rejuvenated right now, and I think them kids will treat him like Uncle Joe. I think they'll run through a wall for Joe. They just let the kids play. I want to see Piron. I want to see Cager. I want to see Mims. I want to see – I don't want to see Herndon. I want to see Westcott. I want to see Griffin. I want to see all
there
the
you go. See ya.
Thank you, Mark. Mark's very excited. He wants to see all the young guys except Herndon.
No, we'll go over Griffin for that one.
He won't see Mims this week, though. Word is he's probably not this week, but maybe he's got one more week, and then they can get him back into the fold. Let's see. Perriman, though, believes to be trending in the right direction. Becton actually is practicing lightly today. Who knows what that situation is going to be, but probably another week, yeah. So just the injury update on the Jets side of things. Slayton for the Giants, by the way, is expected to play at the foot issue, but he is expected to play. That's all the injury update stuff that we've seen so far. We have some interesting stuff, including a Giants take in audio files.
The audio file.
So as Bart mentioned, it's raining today. It's actually been raining a lot lately. We haven't had, it's been very dry for the most part over the last couple of weeks. But man, is it just, we've gotten a lot of water lately, and today is no exception, pouring out there. And so the Giants are getting ready for their game on Sunday, and Joe Judge talked about practicing in the rain.
Today's a great opportunity for us to work on fundamentals. You know, you go on wet grass, you really emphasize your players playing with their feet under them. Ball security is ball handlers, quarterbacks and receivers, making sure we're sharp on that. Defensive players, make sure we really get our cleats in the ground. We don't slip and slide all over the place. And just in general, any chance you get the opportunity to work in weather, you have to use it. You have to use it to your advantage, whether it's wind, snow, rain, hard sun, whatever it may be. You may not get this opportunity again. And the next time we see rain, maybe in a game on Sunday. So we always use every situation we have to prepare ourselves.
You like that?
Yes, that's what teachers
practice
do.
Practice in the rain.
You were holding hands and I
you were never fumbling. Be the same.
this whole practice, everybody walking out to practice like, this is some bull.
I was going to ask
damn,
you.
Damn, Danny Dimes, hold on to the damn ball, man. Now we got to have Junior Whopper practice because you can't hold on to the damn ball. Put some gloves on.
No bubble for the Giants. I was going to ask you exactly that. He may sound like, that sounds like a good, like if you're a fan, you're like, I love that. That's smart. Great idea. But what do the players say?
And then what you do is they go over and they whisper in the ear, hey, man, you know, we got to get Danny ready, man. You know, you never know. We don't want to have 5-6 turnovers, him dropping the ball, man. So, you know, so you always go and you kind of pacify the guys that know this. Why? Like, it's a couple of veteran guys like Golden Tate that know exactly why the hell he is in there. He's like, I played in Detroit. I had to go to Green Bay twice. I know what to play with. Frozen rain, wet rain, hot rain, cold rain, volcano rain, hailstorms. Sleep. I've been in all of it. Why do I have to show up for practice? Because Danny Dimes got Junior Whopper hands. He wearing medium gloves. Like, you already feel like a man when you go there, like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I need a pair of gloves. Well, isotoner, sir? Yeah, where do you want to go? Oh, yeah.
No, they don't make isotoners for his size. They're mittens.
Can I get a medium? Like, we need a medium? And then it's always some fat guy that's on the stock refill. Tell him to go to the kids aisle. Like, oh, man, my 8-year-old got bigger hands than you, Danny Dimes.
So no one's happy about practicing in the rain, but Joe Judge is giving you a reason why. That's very interesting.
It's a very valid reason, though. That's good.
It sounds good. So
crapper.
Some NBA news yesterday that we discussed. And, you know, again, we'll get deeper into this next week, I promise, because I set a lot of people off on social media yesterday by just making a very simple statement about how the Knicks should react, and everybody flipped out. That's fine. I like that. because you got to get at my level of thinking when you understand what I'm trying to say here. But meanwhile, things are happening in Houston as the Rockets made a move, or at least Daryl Morey made a move, stepping down as GM of the Rockets, which he's been there since 2008. His winning, now I know his teams didn't do anything in the postseason, right? They were always like this treadmillish, you know, second round and out kind of stuff. They always had stars. They had great regular season success. His winning percentage for his teams in all that time was over 600. Like, so they always had good teams. They just weren't able to get over the hump. He steps down.
Yeah.
Here's Woj explaining Daryl Morey stepping down.
I think the grind had gotten to him. He was ready to take a step back. He's got two college-age kids who are taking gap years with the pandemic. And he started conversations with their owner, Tillman Fertitta, after the Rockets were eliminated in Orlando, and they came to an ultimate decision here in the last day. He's going to continue to help shepherd the Rockets through the end of this coaching search. They're getting down to the final days of that, I believe, and then he'll move on. And I think Daryl Morey still would like to work in the NBA again somewhere someday, but he's going to take some time away from it now.
Now, Morey, like I said, they're always in the action. He was never afraid to make a move. The rosters were constantly being flipped. That was one issue that they had, but he was big in analytics. The last move he made, though, is the one I think where people really thought he's lost it, which is getting rid of his big man in Clint Capella. They went completely small. It was insane what they did, but they were very competitive. The other move, of course, was adding Russell Westbrook to this team with Harden. They're good friends, but they are not a fit on the court. So, Bart, and I said, like I said, we'll get deeper into this, but I just want your quick take on this.
Yeah.
I said if the Rockets are going to look to move Russell Westbrook,
yep,
the Knicks have to at least look into it, see what it'll cost, because you bring Russ to New York,
ooh,
and now you've got KD, who those two obviously have had their issues. That would all of a sudden put a little bit of spice into New York basketball, and I think the NBA would be all for it. What do you think of that?
Man, gives him a personality, man. You talk about, we talked about this last year. Remember when we knew that he, yep, was going to get moved when Paul George left and say, would you take that contract on? Well, mm-hmm, guess what? You know, Houston took a year off that contract and took some of the money off. There's of
three
it.
Three left.
Well,
over so now, 40
so,
each
so,
year.
So now who cares, man? You got the money. Like, you don't have any supermax players that you have to have. Have somebody come here and instill. One thing you can always say, this dude shows up and plays hard every night. Mm-hmm. So you talk about in the Garden with the intensity in which he plays, with what that's going to look like and selling out the arena and the entertainment factor that that team is having. It'd be scrappy, and he'll force it. He demands a lot of his teammates. Much like Jimmy Butler, he just does it a little differently.
Good. That's an interesting comparison.
What I don't want is for him to be coming down the tunnel with his nipples out. Listen, if he come here, we're going to have to have a conversation with him.
Listen,
phrasing.
It's 2020.
You got to have pasties on. I do not want to see your areolas.
It's 2020. We accept everything. If you win games for me, I don't care what's sticking out.
I'm gonna smack a Sesame. I'm gonna smack a Sesame Street Band-Aid on his nipple.
Phrasing.
Right. With Gorilla Glue on it, so he can't peel it off.
Hey, phrasing.
Peel it off. You're gonna peel the skin off that nipple.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore.
Oh my God! All right. So yesterday, as we talked about in Major League Baseball. As the Astros, so Carlos Correa had a walk-off home run in the ninth to keep the Astros alive in that series against the Rays. That's suddenly a 3-2. So, well, they're going to try to make the comeback from 3-0. But on the other side of things, NLCS, the Dodgers are in big trouble. Mm. They had Clayton Kershaw on the mound, and they were rolling. And he was pitching well. Well, yeah, that's what you say, because they get to the sixth inning, and all of a sudden trouble happened. And it started with, like, this little dribbler, Dave Roberts said, I'm not taking him out over some little dribbling single. Stick with my guy. It's the sixth inning. I believe in him. Well, that didn't work out because the inning blew up and they end up losing the game and now they're down 3-1. Now, we played Dusty Baker yesterday about sticking with Zach Greinke, saying, I looked in his eyes, I believed in him, I went with my gut. Well, Dave Roberts basically said the same thing. It's Clayton Kershaw. I believed in him.
Yeah,
well,
I said it again.
Yeah, I know. But so Roberts now is told, hey, you know, by the way, Kershaw just struggles in the postseason. You need to understand that factor. And this was his response to that.
He came out and, you know, five innings, one run. And then, what happened right there in that sixth inning. But he gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run. But that narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, the numbers suggest otherwise, because the Dodgers might not win a World Series again. They're down 3-1.
Who is bigger disappointment? Yankees not getting there, Dodgers not getting there.
Ooh. Well, Vegas had the Yankees as the favorite after they took two from Cleveland. They went ahead of the Dodgers. But all year, the Dodgers have been the favorite.
We thought it was a collision course. And so once again, the fan base was disappointed.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll tell you what, that's an interesting one. At Bart and Hahn, tell us what you think. Bigger disappointment of not getting to the World Series, Yankees or Dodgers?
That's
personally for us, it's the Yankees, because personally for me, I care more about them. But when you think about who you expected to be there, they were dominant all year.
And they've been on the doorstep just as long as the Yankees, and they've been spending money off the wazoo. They just paid Mookie Betts. They paid everybody, and they still trying to buy a championship, and they can't get it done. They keep running to these hot teams. Azuna!
The Braves at 2 home runs.
Oh, man, the league is so in such a great place, man. And you got to love the flag of these African-American players because, they grow up African-Americans no matter what. If baseball is not about celebrating and pounding your chest, the way these kids grow up in the inner cities, that's how they grow up. So they play baseball. You ever watch like the Dominican League that they have and see all the flair that they have at their games and what's acceptable there? It's like playing in the playground. Mm-hmm. And you think about Tatis, you think about Azuna, you think about what's the guy up there in Toronto, Legacy Kid? Herrera, yeah. You think about, you know, the flair that all those guys have, man. You know what I'm saying? And now, like, I think because you see successful African-American baseball players, that maybe African-Americans are going to start migrating back to baseball. And then you know what's going to happen, baby. It's going to be the show train line. It's going to be like Serrano coming around here. Look at the scoreboard now, grasshopper. And a fight going to break out. It's going to be exciting.
You hope so. And certainly baseball does as well. Some breaking news.
Can't wait.
So as the Colts have their positives test turned negative and the game is on for Sunday, Field Yates and Mike, is it Reese? Rice? I always get it wrong. I'm always told it's Reese, but then when I say that, I'm told, no, it's Rice. Anyways, the Patriots are canceling their Friday practice after a positive COVID-19 test. According to sources, there's a second test they're awaiting to confirm positive.
Cam over there singing. He had practice. Everybody stretching. He's sitting over there listening to Kirk Franklin. All they wanna do is stop. See, he probably went to church, man.
All right. Last but not least, I want to make sure we have time for this. So, you and Peter Rosenberg have something very interesting going on this weekend, don't you?
Oh, forgot. I got to do something.
Friday, fight night with Peter Rosenberg and Bart Scott. Why does his name come first, by the way? I don't like that.
Totally disrespectful.
Fight night with Bart Scott and Peter Rosenberg. It's airing tomorrow exclusively on 98.7 ESPN.
I put up an ace poll.
PM, getting you ready for the action that will be a great fight this weekend at the MGM Grand. It's
MGM Grand, man. It's Lomachenko and Lopez.
Lomachenko.
They get it in, man. This is great fight.
Teofimo Lopez. All right.
Yeah, for years.
I'm trying to read everything.
No, I got you.
Four belts on the line, WBO, WBA, WBC franchise titles, and the IBF title that Teofimo has. So listen to this. So here's your guy, Peter Rosenberg, already has this interview that will run tomorrow. Here's a piece of it when Peter asks him, and that's asks him about being an underdog in this fight.
Odds-wise, Lomachenko is a fairly heavy favorite, and a lot of so-called experts are giving you a, quote, puncher's chance, but they really seem to think it's Lomachenko's fight to lose. Does that annoy you, or does it just put a battery in your back?
No, it doesn't annoy me at all. I guess we could say a battery on my back. You know, my whole thing, man, honestly, is just that whatever the people say, whatever. Honestly, I want the odds to be more in his favor, you know? Hey, I don't mind it at all, man. I know my job, and I know what I'm able to do, and I just can't wait for Saturday night.
Oh, he said can't wait, Bart.
Oh, 10 Cent. Oh, I'm going to collect on that. And listen, I know he a boxer, but he a little dude. He a little micro mini pimp. body slam him. Better give him my 10 cent, bro. No, but I'll tell you what, this is going to be a great fight. See why people take Lomachenko is because Lomachenko has been considered the pound-for-pound champion. And remember that he fought, like, Ringendahl, who was, you know, the Cuban, you know, guy who had won 3 Olympics. And he just destroyed him. And the thing is, with Lopez, you have to consider, like, does he have the footwork to be able to get in position to use that power that he has? His father's been talking smoke for years about him fighting Lomachenko. Finally is here, and his dad is in the stance and not really managing him. I don't know what happened. Let's get to that one. Let's get to the reason why the beef. What happened to your daddy? And that's okay. What I want to talk about with
Peter
Rosenberg.
Well, he's going
to
be on the show. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's going to be on the show with you guys as well. So it's Fight Night with Peter Rosenberg and Bart Scott. I do not like that. Yeah. Fight Night with Bart Scott and Peter Rosenberg.
They should make it P&J, baby. Peanut butter and jelly.
On 98.7 ESPN, and that's tomorrow night from 7 to 8 p.m. Make sure you catch that.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Talk about Lunch Money, Bart. Your state is folding bank right now because of what's going on with sports betting growing in the state. So this was put out by the Associated Press. New Jersey's fast-growing sports betting market blew past its own national record in September, taking in more than $748 million in bets from sports gamblers. Obviously, football is a big part of that, okay? So this is incredible. Atlantic City's 9 casinos and 3 horse racing tracks that offer sports betting handled over almost $750 million in bets, surpassing the national monthly record they set a month earlier in August when it was $668 million. Both figures easily eclipse what had been the U.S. record of $614 million set by Nevada in November of 2019. All right, so far this year, Jersey casinos and tracks have taken in nearly $3.3 billion in sports bets alone.
Why my property tax so damn high? Why my property tax so damn high then?
That might not last for long. That equals or surpasses what Atlantic City used to make an entire year from casino gambling before sports betting was legalized. Hey, New York, can we get a little piece of the action?
For Ooh. Real.
So with that in mind,
instead of raising the damn tolls, how don't you just make gambling legal, damn it?
People like it. It's clear. I mean, that's a lot of cheese on the taco right there.
Man.
So we've got our bets to make. We got our two locals, Jets and the Giants, to pick. And then we have, you and I both have our extra game that we'll take. Let's begin with the Giants in Washington, Bart. The Giants at home against Washington are favored by 2.5. The over-under is 42.5. Where are you going with this game?
Oh, man, I tell you what. I just think Washington could be, you know, the Giants have played well for the last 2 weeks. It's hard to put three good performances together. I know they haven't got the result that they want, but at some point I think that Kyle Allen is going to get used to playing a little bit like Gardner Minshew, like he did last week. And I
comfortable
think
in the system.
A little bit more comfortable in the system, and he's going to take the next step as Danny Dimes is still trying to figure this system out. I think just, you know, wet ball drills, I just think the defensive line, you know, Danny Dimes, once again, maybe with a costly turnover or something that's going to happen in this game, but that defensive line is going to have him under duress the entire game. Yeah. And I don't know if Devontae Freeman can run for enough average to hold them off.
All right, so you've got Washington.
Washington 2.5.
And the 2.5. Yeah, so you're taking the plus 2 and 2.5 for Washington. I'm with you. I'm doing the same, and I worry about the same exact thing. I just think a defensive game here means that those guys are going to get after Daniel Jones, and Kyle Allen could be, even though he's a little banged up, he could be comfortable in the system against that Giant defense. So agree with you there. All right. Jets in Miami. Should we waste our time with this? Dolphins in Miami are favored by 9.5 right now. Over-under is 47. The Jets are winless. It's a 4 o'clock game. Go.
I tell you what, man. South Beach is undefeated. And when you suck and it's raining down here and you go to Miami and you just get some time out in the sun, dudes are going to be swiping right, swiping left, and all over the place. And it's going to be tough to keep there. It's going to be
Miami.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to listen. They might have to like spray that whole plane down when dudes coming back. You know what I'm saying? You know how it is. You get them free hours, bro. They got stuff lined up.
All this wing sauce doing all over the seats.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Is that Sweet Lou? Nah, man. Sweet Lou, like, man, you ain't see me here, dog. So I tell you what, man. It's
he's making a pit stop in Atlanta.
And then it's gonna be hot. You know what I mean? And I just think that, you know, Miami.
It is hot down there.
Right. Yeah. And listen, they haven't won. You know, the Jets haven't had a winning season since Fitzpatrick was 10-6 in 2015.
Yeah, Fitzy and Flacco. Is anybody excited about that? Not me.
That was a hell of a game five years ago.
Quickly here, we're running out of time already. Your pick'em game real fast.
My pick'em game is Cincinnati over Indianapolis. I think that Joe Burrow continues to put up these 300 burgers. I think he finds a way to get A.J. Green, who was reportedly saying he wanted to trade into the mix. And I think ultimately this kid has a lot of grit, and without Leonard, the outstanding quarterback Leonard, I think Mixon eats a lot.
So, okay, so you're Cincinnati. Taking the Bengals and the 7.5. It's 7.5.
Yep.
All right, so all you're that. Taking that in that game. All right, I'm going to take in the Niners-Rams game on Sunday night. I know, but I'm taking the Niners and the 3.5 points. Here's why. Because the Rams have been to East twice in the last 2 weeks, and they look terrible against the Giants in the home game they had. The over-under, by the way, is 51.5. No belief at all in the defense in either one of these games. But the Niners were embarrassed in Miami, and you got to feel like that they're going to bring it here. It's too important of a game for them at 2-3, and so that's why I'm going to go in that direction. I got to make some comebacks here, so I got to take a risky pick. All right. That's our picks. Everybody, again, thanks for a great week, all the calls and everything else. And Bart, good luck to Southeastern High School.
Let's do it.
Get it done tonight.
What?
And I'll see you on Monday, my man.
Don't embarrass me in front of my family and friends at Southeastern.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.